John chapter 5, and beginning with verse 38. We'll just read a couple of scriptures here and then head on in to the thoughts. Jesus is speaking to the leadership of his day, and he says this to them in verse 38. You have not his word, that's God's word, abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. He's talking about himself. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify, he says, of me. Over toward the concluding portion of his gospel in John chapter 20, these are the words that he writes. Verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And he did so much, folks. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. All the signs and all the wonders and all the miracles that he did were done to bear God's witness to the fact that he is indeed the Christ. And all of that has been written down here for us this morning, so that we can look into these scriptures and we can see by the eye of faith, and we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In that believing, we can have life in his name. That's why God has written the book. That's why you have your Bible. That's why I have my Bible, is for us to look. He oversaw the writing of this book for over centuries of time on three different continents in various languages and diverse cultures, and preserved it down through the time of it being chained on pulpits and burned in piles and still being attacked today, and yet here it still is. And we are here this morning continuing on in the obedience to verse 39 in the words of our text. We want to do what Jesus told those guys that they needed to do. Search the scriptures. Search them with diligence. Search them with earnestness. Search them as if you really believe that contained in this book there is a guide that speaks to me of hope and of assurance, that leads me past the dark places of life, that strengthens me when I'm discouraged. Search like you'd search for your iPhone if you lose it somewhere around the house. Search like you would, better than that, search like you would search for one of your children or your grandchildren if they strayed off. Not just a quick scan, but taking every leaf and turning it over, you know, one after the other, and seeing what's there. We're searching the scriptures for life. That's what Jesus said in verse 39. Not for just a commitment of life, but for the purpose of finding life. In them you think you have eternal life, Jesus said, and they are they which testify of me. We're searching for life and not for death. We're searching for hope, not for despair. We find the despair and the dying in the world. We're searching for purpose, a reason for being, not meaninglessness. We're searching for forgiveness, not condemnation. We're searching for peace and not turmoil. We're searching for the true riches and not the things which perish with us in this world. And folks search in a lot of places. You know, that's okay. Folks search in a lot of places outside of the Scripture and independent of the Scripture. God is patient. You've proved that in your life, haven't you? You've seen the forbearance of God and the patience of God. He gives us time. If we feel like we must search in those other places for the answers to life, then search. But God gives you the grace to eventually see that the answers just aren't there, and to come back to the searching in the Word of God again. We search the universe, and we see the evidence of God all about us and the things that He has created, the consistency of the laws that He has given that govern such a magnificent creation. We search the faces of those that we love, and we see His image, the stamp of the divine. But more than anything else, we try to do what Jesus has said right here, and that is to search the Scripture. This is all we've got of it. I mean, it looks like a kind of a thick book, but it's not a thick book. I've read a lot of novels that are a lot thicker than this book is, and probably so have you as well. We don't have much out of the life of Christ that's written here. We do have four biographies of Jesus, but none of those ever is set out to be a complete biography. I mean, you get the ones that were written about Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or some of these other guys that are notable in our own history. And there are multiple biographies written by multiple men. And they'll start with the cradle, you know, stuff, and maybe even go back a generation or two before that time and trace out his family and look at his lineage, and they'll follow him all the way through to the grave and all the great things that he said and all the great things that they did. And many are the biographies, and lengthy are the biographies that we've written of men like that. But we don't read them. There are people, believe it or not, that go through their whole life and have never read a biography of Abraham Lincoln, or of George Washington, or of George Patton, or any number of other notable figures that you could mention. I have no interest or desire to read those kinds of things. You could take what we have written about Jesus Christ, and you could write all of the biographies of Jesus on the fly pages of books like that. I wish God had told us more, preacher. I'm glad He didn't. You know, back over still in the Gospel of John, I'll tell you why I'm glad he didn't. Because here's what John says as he concludes his Gospel. This is the last verse in his Gospel, the 21st chapter. When he says, verse 25, an acknowledgement of what you and I already know, the scanty nature of the biographies themselves. There are many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. They were left out on purpose. It's you and I that neglect stuff, that fail to see stuff. That's our characteristic. It's not God's. God chose carefully what to put in these biographies about our Lord Jesus Christ and what to leave out. We have His birth. We have the situation at age 12 when He was a young man. And then we just have the beginning of His life and as He was baptized of John the River Jordan. And then we have that scant, brief sketch of his ministry, some 3.5 years, and don't begin to think that everything that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote about that period of time, which takes up the vast majority of their Gospels, that was in any way exhaustive. It was not. Wonder why so little. Well, there's reasoning behind what God does always, and the reasoning is always sound in what God does. And I'm not here to tell you that I know everything that God does and why He does it. Out of all that God could have written, this is all that He has written. This world could not contain the books that should be written, I guess, or that could be written about all that He did. But this is all of it. There's not any more out there yet to be found. There's not any more that's coming in some kind of later day revelation. This is all of it. In this country, we have access to the Scripture fully, freely. Our problem is whether or not we want to access it. It's here. It's available. Search the Scripture. Alaska had all that gold up there at the time that Jesus was born, at the time that the world was flooded during the days of Noah. It was already up there. For all the millennia, for all the centuries following the birth of Christ, it just lay there, of no use to anyone, undiscovered and unknown, until California ran out of gold and we started looking for other places, and somebody said it's up there in Alaska, and so guys a lot more full of gumption than I would have been, went up there to find it, and they did, and they found it by the truckload. But it had been there all along, waiting to be discovered. Somebody had to dig. Somebody had to search. Somebody had to do the work. But once they were willing to do that, the treasure that came pouring forth was just immeasurable. Search the Scriptures. There is treasure there. It deals with life and not with death. Solomon said a long time ago in Ecclesiastes 12 that You know, he said, of the making of many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And I understand that that kind of turns us off a lot. I mean, it is really is work. But it really is essential. You know, it's okay. We go to the doctor, don't we? We go to the doctor a lot. The older you get, the more you go. You pay him a lot of money. Why don't you just learn that stuff yourself? I mean, the books are all out there. I mean, every book that he read and studied and learned, and so that he could set up a shingle in his office and charge you that amount and bill the government or your insurance company for the rest of it. And I mean, it's all there. It's available to you if you would. You say, well, Larry, have you looked at those books? Well, I have. That's the problem. I have looked at them. There's too many of them. They're too thick. They're too cumbersome. So every time we have a legal problem, we see a lawyer and we pay him $X an hour to sift through all those books and his learning. Those books are available to you as well. Why don't we just learn what he learned? Then we'll have to pay those fees for that kind of stuff. Why don't we just learn what engineers learn and electricians learn and computer guys learn? And I mean, it's there. The knowledge is there. We just have to study to get it. And too many books. It just looks like an insurmountable task, and we give up before we ever get started. Not so with the Bible. This is the Word of God. It tells you less than you want to know, but it tells you everything that you need to know. So we search that Scripture for the treasure that is contained therein. Usually we get in trouble because we don't investigate enough, we don't study enough. We used to believe the world was flat, and why did we believe that? Well, we hadn't studied and investigated enough to convince ourselves that there could be some other possibility other than the world being flat. We didn't know anything about gravity because we hadn't studied or researched the possibility of that kind of force being in operation. Toscanelli was a geographer way back yonder, and he said, you know, I don't believe it's flat, I believe it's actually oval or round. And so he listed his reasons for thinking that. And Sir John Mandeville looked at his writings and he said, I believe he's right. And Columbus said, I believe both of you guys are right. And so he set out west, sailing, not anticipating the edge of the world, but anticipating a new world. Study. That's all. Made the difference in all of that. Why don't we have a cure for cancer? With all the folks that we love that are burdened by cancer, why don't we have a cure for that? We can cure a bunch of stuff. We haven't studied enough. We haven't investigated yet enough. There's all kinds of disease out there that our researchers are continuing to research and pour funds and effort and work into to try and figure that stuff out. And eventually, the answers will come, but not without searching, study, and investigation. We do that for life purposes. We search the Scriptures because we believe that in those Scriptures there is eternal life. We're accountable to those Scriptures that we search. So that when God instructs us in His Word, about how I should live and how I should respond to Him and to you, I'm accountable to that which He tells me. Whether it's obeying the gospel or activity in the church, or whether it's how I treat my family or what, you know, how I talk. Lots of things you can neglect the study of and it'll never bother you. Physics and chemistry. Never took it in high school. Never took a class in college. Whenever it is that I die and whoever it is that stands up before people to talk to you about my life will say, you know, it's tragic about Larry. He went through all of his life and never studied physics or chemistry. Just think of all the things that he missed in life from that lack of study. That's not tragic. A lot of things that, you know, study or don't. Pay somebody to learn it for you, that's fine. But not with the Scripture. Not if I'm searching for eternal life. I must do my own search. So why search? Number one, very quickly, because there is no other revelation from heaven other than this one that we have right here. And there's no anticipation of some other revelation coming. That what God has to say to us, He says to us here. This is Hebrews, the first chapter in verse 1, where the Hebrew writer begins that book by saying, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, He has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And he goes on to extol the person of Christ. Our God is a God of revelation. He's constantly showing us things that we would never know otherwise. He has exhausted every possibility in communicating with us in his creation, in the nature of those that He has created, and in the consistency of His laws governing this universe, in the scriptures that was given through the old prophets during the patriarchal age and during the Mosaical age. He has taught and instructed and revealed. But in these last days, He's speaking to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The most important message Moses ever heard came from a burning bush. I burned a lot of brush, and so have a lot of you folks. I never got any message out of it other than not to pour gasoline on it. That's a pretty clear lesson. He spoke to Balaam with the mouth of a donkey. We're not looking for any kind of revelation like that. We hold up no expectation that there'll be some kind of extra effort upon God's part to communicate with us. He has given us His Word. And so we look to that Word. You remember last week I talked a little bit about folks wanting to see Jesus and all the places that they thought they found Him. I researched that a little bit more, and I wish I'd come up with this stuff last week, but I'll share it with you today. Joyce Simpson saw the face of Jesus in a fork full of spaghetti on a billboard in Georgia. Rita Rachin found the image of Jesus and a small child on the side of a soybean oil truck in Ohio. They had to repaint the truck. Folks were stopping it on the road to see Jesus. Arlene Granger saw the face of Christ on the side of an old refrigerator that she'd put out on her front porch, and when the neighbor turned her light on, it reflected off of the rust on the side of the refrigerator, and there was the face of Christ. The neighbor had to take the bulb out of their porch light. Too many people coming by wanting to see Jesus. Maria Rubio was cooking down in New Mexico, was cooking burritos, and she burned one of her tortillas. And when she turned it over, there was this perfect image of Christ, 3 inches high. She put it in a frame. 11,000 people came and paid because they wanted to see Jesus. We're not told to search any of those places. I'm skeptical of those places. I am told by the Lord Himself to search the Scripture. Those are those which testify of Me, Jesus said. And so we search that Word. Because this is the revelation of God regarding Him. And we don't look for another revelation to come along. Luke 16, the story that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man's regret that his brothers were going to come to that same place of torment. And he said, you know, Abraham, if you would send Lazarus to warn my brothers, they would believe if one came to them from the dead. And Abraham's response was, you're wrong about that. If they won't believe what Moses has said in the Scripture, they won't believe if one was to rise from the dead, was Abraham's response. No other revelation. Jesus has risen from the dead, and men still are hesitant to believe. This is the revelation of God to us. I can insist that He do more. I can become angry with Him because He has not and will not. I can believe that He has failed me because He has yet to convince me of the reality of the things that He has said within His Word. It won't change anything. This is the revelation of God. Search the Scripture because it is by faith in that revelation and obedience to that revelation that we know the salvation that we know. I am forgiven. None of us here are perfect people other than in the relationship we enjoy with God through Christ Jesus. but I am forgiven. I am assured eternally of where my final resting place will be. Not because I'm so good at what I do, but because God has convinced me. You listen to Him long enough, folks, and He'll get you over yourself. He'll be able to look beyond your own failings to the greatness of His grace that reaches in and saves people like us. Our forgiveness is real. Our conversion is inseparably tied to the Word that He has given, to the Scriptures that He has provided. John 15:3, Jesus said to the disciples that needed to be cleaned up some, He said, "Now you are clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you." Because that's what the Word of God does. It brings us into God's presence as presentable people in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, search the Scripture. Lastly, I'll remind you that we search the Scripture because it's the only guide that we've got. I don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of all of us. I just know that He does. I don't know how the angels serve as ministers to those that believe, but I do know that they do. All of that is unseen by me and not fully understood by me. But I do know about the Scripture and about the guide that it is. Psalm 119:105, David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's exactly what it is. It is light by which we can see. Now, Jesus told us in John 3, if you recall, that the problem with humanity is that we don't like light much. We get comfortable with the darkness because the darkness hides what we do, and we can even hide from ourselves in the darkness. But He said, so men won't come into the light because it exposes who we are and what we are. That we're not like God. And so we love the darkness and hate the light. But God's Word is a light that leads us out of that darkness. And that gets us where we need to be. Don't become angry with God or get disappointed with God because the light that He gives us to live by doesn't reach as far out into our future as we would like for it to go. And all it's like a flashlight, you know. So you got a flashlight and you're out in the dark wandering around. You can get home with that thing. If you know where home is, you can get home. You can't see all the way home, but you can get home. I mean, you just follow what light is available to you. Step on out in that light and you'll get where you're going. That's all it's intended to do. So as we walk in God's light, 1 John 1, we enjoy fellowship one with another. We enjoy the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. And that light inevitably leads us home. The place where we all want to be. So we will continue to search the Scripture as God has instructed us to do. The answers are there. I'll not find them all before I leave this world. Of that I am confident. So we continue searching every day. But always search with this goal in mind. Understanding that what I'm looking for is not condemnation. Condemnation is real, but that's not what I'm searching for. I'm searching for forgiveness. Despair is real, but I'm not searching for despair. I'm searching for hope. Death is real. I'm not searching for death. I'm searching for life. And what we search for, we shall surely find. Maybe you're here this morning and not a Christian. This is the opportunity for you to come in obedience to the gospel. In repentance of sin and confession of your faith, we'll baptize you into Christ because that's what the Bible teaches. He'll add you to the church. And we'll live to His glory in the church, Ephesians 3:21, throughout all ages, until this world ends, Paul said. Or maybe you need our prayers as God's child. We stand ready to assist with anything that we can help with. You come while we stand and sing. First and last.